This is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien with Montana Morning News. A federal court has ruled that Montana's campaign contribution limits are unconstitutional. The ruling by U.S. District Judge Charles Lovell on the limits passed in 1994 comes less than a month before the state's June 7th primary. Montana's Commissioner of Political Practices, Jonathan Modell, says he's disappointed by yesterday's ruling, but says the decision does not leave the state without campaign contribution limits.
Under Montana law, the court's ruling striking the current limit effectively reinstates the political committee and individual contribution limits that were in place before the 1994 enactment.
Montana's Attorney General's office agreed, citing a state Supreme Court case which says that when a law is struck down as unconstitutional, the previous version of that law goes into effect. That is not good news to Bozeman lawyer Matthew Monforton, who worked as lead attorney challenging Montana's contribution limits.
The problem is both versions, both the pre-1994 and the post-1994 versions of Montana's contribution limits are blatantly unconstitutional.
Monforton says reverting to the old contribution limits will lead to further litigation. He wants all contribution limits to be struck down. Montana's Secretary of State has announced that more than a dozen satellite voting offices have been established on the state's American Indian reservations ahead of the June 7th primary election. The Great Falls Tribune reports the 13 offices will serve 6 tribal nations in 9 counties. Yesterday's announcement comes after tribal leaders called on Secretary of State Linda McCullough last year to open the offices to ensure American Indians had equal access to voting. McCullough says the newly created offices will be open on select days in the month leading up to the primary. Most Montana reservations have local polling places for Election Day, but satellite offices provide more services, such as late registration and in-person absentee voting, that are typically only available at the county elections office. A Canadian-based group of men who post pictures and videos of their travels on social media are now in hot water with Yellowstone National Park officials after walking out onto a hot spring where people are prohibited. Rangers filed a criminal complaint Monday against 3 members of the group known as High on Life Sunday Fun Days for stepping out onto a geothermal feature. The group has posted an apology on its website and social networks for leaving the boardwalk path that visitors are required to stay on. The park's pathways are there to protect both tourists and the sensitive hot springs. The group has offered to donate up to $5,000 to the park. They removed photos and video showing some of them touching the hot water at the Grand Prismatic Spring over the weekend. An attorney for an American Indian group says U.S. officials will likely need more money from Congress to cover the costs of an initiative to return land on reservations to tribal ownership. John Dossett with the National Congress of American Indians says the U.S. Interior Department program is working well, but he says that the $1.9 billion put into it under a legal settlement will not be enough to get the work done. A man has pleaded guilty to fatally striking a woman in southwestern Montana hit-and-run crash while under the influence of drugs. The Montana Standard reports that 50-year-old Donald Wellborn Jr. pleaded guilty yesterday to felony vehicular homicide while under the influence of methamphetamine as part of a plea deal. A federal court has ruled that Montana's campaign contribution limits are unconstitutional less than a month from the state's June 7th primary. The ruling by U.S. District Judge Charles Lovell yesterday is a clear setback for the state's Commissioner of Political Practices, who defended the strict limits that voters enacted in 1994. Lovell's ruling said Montana officials did not prove that the limits, quote, further the important state interest of combating quid pro quo corruption or its appearance, close quote. Montana's Governor Steve Bullock called on the Attorney General's office to file a request for a stay and then file an appeal.
Montana elections should be decided by we the people. This ruling's a travesty and a step back towards the era of Copper Kings, allowing Montanans and our elections to be bought and paid for by people with unlimited wealth is bad for the integrity of our elections and for our democracy.
The plaintiffs in the case, which include several political action committees and Republican central committees, claim the limits restricted freedom of speech, association, and candidates' ability to raise enough money to effectively campaign. A commission appointed to assess the Division of Child and Family Services says the agency is facing an alarming caseload increase, with inadequate resources and training causing staff to burn out and quit. The Protect Montana Kids Commission is recommending the legislature increase funding for the division, along with the court system and for prosecutors and public defenders' offices, to help handle the increasing number of child abuse cases. The commission says not providing the additional resources could lead to more spending for corrections and mental health programs. Commission members also made long-term recommendations, including improving agency communications both internally and with outside interests, and encouraging a culture of collective responsibility for safety and quality care among all involved in the child protection system. An attorney for an American Indian group says U.S. officials will need more money from Congress to cover the costs of an initiative to return land on reservations to tribal ownership. John Dossett with the National Congress of American Indians says the U.S. Interior Department program is working well, but he says the $1.9 billion put into it under a 2009 legal settlement will not be enough to get the work done. The program consolidates individual parcels of land with multiple owners and turns the property over to tribes to be put to beneficial use. It expires in 2022. Interior officials yesterday added 63 reservations in 16 states to the initiative, bringing the total number involved to 105. Yesterday, Montana's Republican candidates for governor and superintendent of public schools called for policy changes to grow computer science education in the state. At a press conference at Kalispell's Depot Park, Greg Gianforte and Elsie Arnson proposed three changes. One, that computer science classes should count toward graduation as a core science requirement. Two, to allow computer coding to count toward foreign language requirements. And the third, said Gianforte,
we need to do more to help our teachers get certification to teach computer science. Our universities don't have those options. I think we should add them.
Gianforte says improving teacher training in computer science can be done affordably. The Bozeman software entrepreneur said Montana has a, quote, moral obligation to improve computer science education here, and that local school boards should be allowed to opt out of the policies if they don't like them. A woman charged in two knife attacks that left one person dead and another injured in Missoula has pleaded guilty. The Missoulian reports 32-year-old Sarah McKnight pleaded guilty yesterday to five felonies, including deliberate homicide and kidnapping. Prosecutors say she and co-defendants Scott Price intended to steal a car and money to buy drugs. On December 21st, investigators say McKnight waited in her car as Price stabbed a woman outside a grocery store. They then drove to a motel where they found Lynette Keener cleaning a room. McKnight says Price pushed Keener into the bathtub and robbed her at knife point. McKnight then waited outside and says she didn't know Price had killed the woman until she saw the bloody knife. Price also is facing five felonies in that case. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Edward O'Brien.